Hey, this is Freddie Rose. You're listening to Walking the Floor.
Yes.
And number one.
Number one.
I'm walking the floor over you.
Walking the floor.
I'm walking the floor.
Walking the floor over you.
Hola, senores and senoritas, and welcome to this special midweek edition of Walking the Floor. It's a very, very it's so special that we had to put it up on Wednesday because I got the chance to interview one of the true superstars of the sport of boxing, Mr. Freddie Roach. Superstar trainer Freddie Roach here on my program today. Before we get into that, I have more show updates because they continue to grow. It looks like I'm going to be playing up in Ventura and Camarillo with my good friend Timmy Curran. I don't know if this is official. Maybe I shouldn't be announcing this, but I think it is official. At the Revo Surf Shop in Ventura, and then also the Revo Surf Shop in Camarillo, and that's going to be December 1st and 2nd. So let's just bring that to a full tally. We've got Mollusk Surf Shop in Silver Lake on November 12th. We've got the Rob Machado Foundation charity event down at the Belly Up on the 15th of November. Now we have the 1st and 2nd at Revo Surf Shops in Ventura and Camarillo. And then X, we're opening for X on December 18th at the Casbah in San Diego. And then up for New Year's Eve at the Roxy here in LA. So lots and lots of shows coming up in the next couple of months. Please make it out. Most of those are going to be acoustic. The X shows are going to be full band electric. So please, please, please come out and see it. Pick a show. Come to all of them. Why not? All right. Before we get to today's interview, let's talk about my good friends at Zounds.com. Zounds.com, you know them. You love them. They're real musicians over there. They're not salespeople. They're musicians. They play music. So if you need to get some music gear, you go over there. You find whatever it is you need. They have everything, you know, from large and small. And they'll give you the best prices. If you find somebody else that beats their price, they're going to beat it for you. Somehow, it's magic, and then they're going to get it, fast and free right to your door with 2-day shipping on 90% of their orders. It's a pretty good track record over there. Zounds.com. Get to it. All right, so anybody that listens to the show or knows me at all knows that I'm a psychotic boxing fan, and on today's show, get to interview boxing trainer Freddie Roach, who is, you know, if you follow the sport at all, you absolutely know who this guy is. If you don't follow it, he's a guy who started out as a pro fighter, comes from a family of fighters. Then when his professional boxing career was over, he segued into becoming a trainer. He's trained, he's trained everybody. He's trained Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya, Johnny Tapia, Miguel Cotto. But he's definitely most famous for being the guy that developed Manny Pacquiao into the superstar fighter that we all know today. And the reason that I'm putting this interview up in the middle of the week is because Pacquiao's got a big fight this weekend. I think it's November 5th. He's fighting Vargas. It's available on pay-per-view, so find that, you know, wherever you are. And it's his first fight. He had a retirement. He was supposedly retired after the last fight with Bradley, but that was only 7 months ago, so it's not much of a retirement, but he's back and ready to do the business, and we're going to see how the 37-year-old Manny Pacquiao looks come this Saturday. So anyway, I talked to Freddie about their preparation leading into this fight and how training has changed over the years with Pac-Man. Talked about the disappointing loss to Mayweather and some goofy stuff that surrounded that fight. We talked about the current state of boxing. We talked about a lot of stuff. This is Freddie Roach on Walking the Floor. So thanks for having me today. It's obviously very busy here, like it always is. So thanks for taking the time to do the show. How do you feel heading into this fight, into Manny's fight?
I feel really good. Manny, he's really been a little bit different in this camp. He's been a lot more aggressive this camp. He's looking really good. He's shown me signs of like the old Manny a little bit, and I like the old Manny. With his sparring partners being really, really aggressive with him and hitting him big shots and jumping on him and, you know, maybe not trying to knock him out so much, but the thing is, being very aggressive and quick, using his speed, his foot speed and his hand speed together. He's really putting everything together for this fight, and he looks really good. This is the best I've seen him in a long time.
Really.
I mean, he was going through a mode a little bit for a while that he just had to beat his opponent. He didn't have to knock him out or hurt them. And that's really not the fight game. You know, if you can get somebody out of there, get them out of there. Because, you know, one punch can change things. And it did happen to us with Marquez, Morales. Sure. We stayed 1 second too long, and then we got knocked out. And right. Manny has stopped him like he should have in the round before. That wouldn't have happened. And so I like what I see. I think this guy's in trouble. I mean, this is the best I've seen Manny. His punching power is really getting better, actually, because he's getting used to being at 147, and he's using his leverage and his speed a lot better. And, you know, I'm catching him on the mitts in the Philippines, and my shoulder is killing me one day. So, I mean, I took a day off, and for me to take a day off is really fucking unusual. But the thing is, so I put Boo Boy in there, and he broke Boo Boy's elbow and wrist.
Seriously? From working the pads?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So then I had to...
Have you ever seen that in all your years in boxing?
I was laughing. I said, you'd be kidding me. So I'm back on the table. We did seven rounds yesterday in the mitts, and he hurt me a couple times. But today is probably going to be like a 10-round mid session, and I won't be able to sleep too good tonight.
I mean, you've been with Manny for a long time now, and you know Manny's obviously been fighting for a long time. So how does it change? How does your preparation change, or how has it changed over the years from the time, say, when he was first started working with you till now? How do you prepare differently?
When I first started working with Manny, I was really kind of satisfied with him knocking people out with a big left hand. And, you know, after a while, you know, we started moving up in weight classes, and we started fighting bigger and better guys. And it was, I said to myself, I got to be a better trainer. I got to do my job. I got to make him a better boxer, use the footwork. And I need a two-fisted fighter. And I worked on his right hand for a long, long time. He was developing that and working with it. And then when he knocked out Diaz with the right hook, it was there. Now he's a two-fisted fighter. He can hurt you with either hand, and the footwork's unbelievable now. And you know, a lot of people in the Philippines had criticized me for making him a little bit less exciting, and you know, just not going out there looking for a knockout and boxing and setting things up and so forth. And I was criticized a little bit before, but in the long run, it worked out very well, because we would have never beat De La Hoya if he didn't learn those lessons of how to be a real boxer, a professional boxer, and not just a big puncher.
I mean, does that have as much to do with moving up in weight as with technique, in terms of not getting the knockouts? Like, I kind of think of Manny's career in like three phases. There's that early stage, or maybe it's four stages, because there's the period that I didn't know who he was. But then there's that stage where he's having wars with Barrera and Morales, and the early fights with Marquez. Then the sort of superstar making fights of De La Hoya, Hatton, and Cotto. And then there's that run, and I wanted to ask you specifically about this, and you're kind of talking about it now. When he fought Claudia and Margarito and, you know, Bradley and some of those guys, where the knockout stopped coming.
Right.
Is that because of moving up to like what would kind of be an unnatural weight class for him?
Yeah, it definitely. I think his best fighting weight is actually 140 at this point. He'd knock a lot of guys out at 140, but at 47, you have big guys, they're more durable, and they just take a better shot, you know, and it takes a lot more to knock a 47 pounder out than it does a 40 pounder. And that's the reason why we stop knocking people out. And then the change in religion also, in that God has told him that he doesn't have to knock his opponent out. You know, that he doesn't have to hurt anybody.
Has God told him something different for this fight next week?
I think so. You know, the thing is, I don't get into religion too much with him and so forth, but I did tell him, I says, he sparred the first day I was in the Philippines. I says, wow. I said, that's That's really good. I really like what I saw.
Did he come into camp in shape, ready to go?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was already in camp before I got there. I got there a little bit late this time.
And the camp was in the Philippines for the most part.
In Manila, yes. Right. And the first time in Manila in a long time, because usually we're in General Santos or Baguio, the altitude or the two opposite ends.
Right.
And we're in the middle this time because he's a senator and he has to do his job. And then when they let him out of work between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, that's when we train. And then, you know, but once Manny comes through the doors, he knows what he's up for, and his sure. work ethic is still great. Yeah, really, really good. Do you want to have him talk about
I mean, we'll definitely hear it, but it's, you know, it's your call. I don't want to disrupt anybody's training.
It's up to you. Okay. You can live with it.
I
sure.
Agree.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, is there any sense of regret with Pacquiao at all that he didn't spend more time at around 140, you know, doing fights there where he maybe would have been his most natural?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we could have stayed there and so forth, but he wouldn't have had those runs of beating the big guys. And,
right.
And I think that's a little bit special when you beat big guys like that. You know? Manny being really happy going into a fight because he can have breakfast before the fight, it made a difference.
Where he's not killing himself to make weight. He's actually trying to put on weight going.
Put on weight.
Right.
And then, you know, so the thing is that struggle of making weight is so overrated to me. I mean, I've moved guys up now like Miguel Diaz. Miguel Cotto, I'm sorry. I moved him up in weight classes so he's comfortable at weight. And, like, he'll smile now because everyone says he never smiles. He's kind of an asshole.
Right.
I mean, I was the biggest prick.
Guy,
in there.
Yeah.
I was a prick. Making weight was... I was mean, gave me 4 fights only because I was hungry.
Right.
And I
had
nothing to do with the fights.
Yeah.
He's just hungry. So the thing is, so, you know, with Manny, we could have stayed at like 35 and 40 and just dominated those divisions. But to win 8 world titles in different classes is
historical.
To me, it's historical because I don't think that record will ever be touched.
Mm.
I don't. And so Manny's doing really good. And so I see a lot of the old Manny. And then a couple days came, like a couple days later, and I said, Manny, what happened to that guy that was in the ring the other day? And he says, I don't know. He says, it's just, you know. He said, I must be a little tired or something like that, you know, and stuff like this. I said, Manny, I'm going to get a psychiatrist for you. I said, because, like, I don't know why you're great one day and the next couple of days you're just okay. And he said, well, Freddie, I'm not a machine. I says, well, I think you are a machine.
We need you to be a machine through November 5th.
And the psychiatrist is me.
Right.
Because I got to get inside his head and make him... do this and make him believe in himself.
Well, that's a real thing. I mean, you know, I never understood that about boxing. I never took that seriously when you heard guys talking about getting up for a fight and getting up until I think when Tarver knocked out Roy Jones. I remember thinking, like, that's a good example of Roy Jones. Probably didn't give a fuck about that fight and shouldn't have been there.
Right.
Among other things. But that's a real thing. Like, how, with all the huge mega fights Manny's done over the years, how do you get him up for this fight?
Yeah.
With a guy that's maybe not as well known as, you know, some of the other guys he could
fight. Right. Well, one thing that a lot of people don't understand, you know, Manny knows what's going on out there. He knows what this guy's talking. He knows this guy's talking shit. Manny...
Does he pay attention to the fight scene?
Yeah. He won't make a big deal about it, though, but it'll sink in. It will sink in. This kid's... He's killing himself.
Mm.
He's being so cocky. And then I'll talk back to him a little bit and stuff like that. But you know, basically, you know, Manny wants me to be nice at press conferences, so... No, I understand that.
Sure.
You know, Manny's got a good reputation, so forth, and he'll do the fighting, and I don't have to, you know.
Right.
I don't really have to motivate him because they've already motivated him.
Right.
And so, you know, yesterday, I mean, we're getting close to the fight, and we had a couple days of bad jet lag.
Mm.
We had one day off. We had the next day... little sluggish. The next day he's feeling better, and then we sparred yesterday, and it's okay. Now, right now, I want you to take your gloves off, and we're gonna shatter box and loosen up a little bit. He said, what about the heavy bag and the speed bag and so forth? I says, we just peaked. You're at your top right now. I don't want you to do anything extra. Don't go over. I mean, I don't... To get the guy to peak, I mean, once you get him there, but once you go over, it's tough to get it back. So,
I mean, that's a real thing, too, in preparing for a fight. How do you figure that out? Yeah, how do you know when a guy's peaking?
You have to know the fighter. You know, right. The thing is, and we've been together 15 years, so I know, I know what kind of day he's going to have when he walks through the door. It's going to be a good day or a bad day because I can see a smile on his face, maybe not a smile on his face, or him a little
tired. Does he still enjoy the training? Does he still enjoy the prep?
100%, yes. This is what he does best. I mean, he trains better than any fighter I've ever had. I mean, I've had some good fighters, but nobody can come close to him. So... Yesterday he shadow boxing and stuff like that, and we're taking some pictures with some, Bob Arum brought some people in, and I had a couple guys from South Africa that wanted to meet Manny and so forth, fighters. So we took a couple pictures and stuff like that, but we didn't do much after the sparring. We just kind of shadow boxed and maintained it. And now today will be I'm going to try to make it a light day, just really use just speed, a lot of mitt work and so forth. Then I'll box again on Saturday, and it'll just go a couple rounds. And depending on how sharp he is on Saturday, Monday might be our last day.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to box on this Monday. We usually do a last day of sparring on Monday, but this time I think we're already there. So I don't want to overdo it. It's just I like where he is, and we're just maintaining right now.
Right, right.
And if he goes in there and fights like he did yesterday, he's going to kill this guy. He will knock this guy out.
Assuming he has a great fight on the 5th, what does he want to do next? You know, I know that there was talk about him retiring after the last fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only 7 months later, so it's pretty much like he was never retired. It's almost like a quick return to the ring for a top-level boxer nowadays.
True.
So where does he want to go after Vargas?
You know, I think Mayweather is the biggest thing out there right now. He's still active.
Who's Manny, also theoretically retired, right?
Right. But Manny, Manny thought he won that fight.
Yep.
I didn't, but the thing is, I was very disappointed in the fight. And I know Manny can fight a much better fight. And I know Manny can beat him. And that's...
His shoulder's in good shape now?
Yeah. No complaints, no nothing.
Right.
Everything's healthy. No excuses whatsoever. Congress was a little bit taxing, the warm out a little bit. But, you know, we have no excuses. Everything... We chose everything that happened.
Right.
So he's in the best shape I've seen in a long time. He's a lot more aggressive. My shoulder is really sore today, but it's going to be really, really sore tonight. I'm just going to do a lot of speed work with him today and just not too much power work and just hold. I'm kind of just maintaining right now.
Right.
And this is what you have to do is because if you overtrain a fighter, and there is such a thing, it'll be really, really hard to get him back on track. I mean, so the thing is, you've got to watch him carefully, and you've got to pull him out.
Right.
The thing is,
right.
And I'm not afraid to do that.
Because he's going to want to go hard and go all week and all that. Right.
He won't go a lot more rounds. And we'll negotiate back and forth, and I'll have a number, and I'll have a number that I'll let him go a couple over just to let him think I'm giving that to him.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a mind game.
Yeah. I always said a great trainer is kind of like your therapist.
Yes.
You know?
Because I'll keep him right where I won't let him go over.
You know, you mentioned the Mayweather fight, obviously, you know, big fight. And now that that's in the rearview mirror, there's something I always wondered, and I'd love to talk to you about it. Because from an outsider's point of view, just as a boxing fan's, you know, following that over so many years, waiting for that fight to ever happen, my take on it was, it looked to me like Manny always wanted that fight.
Yes.
Floyd Mayweather did not want that fight for a long time. And it seemed to me, too, that Bob Arum didn't want that fight. Am I off base?
No.
Do you agree or disagree? And more specifically, why? I mean, we can all guess, but why do you think Mayweather didn't want to fight him, say, 5 or 6 years before they fought?
Well, I would say he didn't want to lose. And the thing is, Mayweather, you know, he picks and chooses opponents well. And he is a good boxer. I won't take that away from him. But, I mean, I can't take that away from him. He is very good and so forth. But the thing is, there's a lot of guys that he ducked along the way. And a lot of guys.
When you look at Mayweather's record.
Very, very carefully built.
Yes. I mean,
he doesn't.
When you look at all the guys that he didn't fight, it's amazing.
He doesn't have those runs like Manny had with all the Mexican fighters.
No one's ever going to need to watch a Mayweather fight again on YouTube the way that we watch, you know, Hagler Hearns or something. Like, it's never going to happen, you know?
He's not the most exciting fighter in the world, and he's kind of boring, more boring now than ever.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to take chances, he doesn't want to get hurt. And, then he comes to my gym a couple times over the last couple months and just... He wants to look around and stuff like that.
Right.
He's fishing for something, I'm sure. I said, "You're looking for Manny?"
I mean, how much of what he does is just... I've always heard he's a great guy in person, why? Yeah,
because, like, he comes up to me, "Hi, Mr. Roach, how are you?"
I always hear he's very polite.
But I've known him since he was, like, 5 years old when he was training in the gym.
Sure.
And he's always been... me and him are okay. You put a camera in front of us, we're not so okay. You know, he knows how to sell a fight. I know how to sell a fight. And
I think he knew that he wasn't an attraction. And, you know, around the time of that De La Hoya fight, reinvented himself as the he's the guy in the black hat. He's the bad guy.
And the thing is, you know, the Pacquiao fight and stuff like this, I mean, it was such a big event and so forth, and it just didn't live up to it.
Right.
And
You think they'll get a chance to go again?
I'm a little embarrassed about that because my fighter didn't do what I think he should have done, and I can do a better job, and he can do a better job, and we can beat this guy.
Well, there was that thing that week of that fight, and I was wondering why this wasn't a bigger scandal where Mayweather got injected with vitamin saline shot and got an exemption, and then they wouldn't let Manny get a shot in his shoulder to deal with the pain with a substance that wasn't a banned substance. Why wasn't that, with all the rumors surrounding Mayweather being a dirty fighter all these years, and there's a lot of them. I mean, I would encourage anybody listening to go read that Thomas Hauser article that details it pretty well. And I also don't want to get sued, so I'm not going to say that that's absolutely true or anything. Yeah. I'm just saying it's the big rumors out there. Why wasn't that a bigger scandal?
Yeah, it wasn't a bigger scandal. It was kind of... You know, we had that all set up for Manny to get that shot in the locker room, and I was kind of hesitant about that, and I said we should have it and maybe in his hotel room, you know, but they wanted it because the shot doesn't last that long, so the thing is, they wanted to do it as close as possible.
Sure,
everything's set up and so forth, and then the commissioner comes in and looks at it, what's that table for? Oh, Manny's going to have a shot there. What shot is that? I said, wait a minute, you've already okayed this. And then I talked to the doctor, and the doctor says to him, you okay this? And what are you talking about? The guy just played dumb, and they took it away from us and wouldn't let it go.
I mean, is that a normal thing? Have you seen that before in professional boxing, somebody getting an injection like that right before a fight? Is that a relatively normal thing?
Not normal, but
it happens.
Done. The thing is, when you do something that close to a fight, you're just getting a pain medicine. You're not taking a steroid or anything like that. It's nothing that's going to enhance your fight and so forth.
Well, why do you think Mayweather gets the exemption and you guys don't? I mean,
that was a big issue. And so now everyone's kind of arguing back and forth and blaming everybody.
And his was a banned substance, was it not?
Yes. Yeah. But the thing is, so he gets hand injections. We can't do our shoulder injections. And I says, you know what? He's fucking bigger than us. And, I mean, he controls this commission a little bit, I think. You know, it's just like
the
MGM
commission
having his pictures up while Pacquiao's fighting the main event. You know?
It's just, right.
I mean, the fight before, you know, and Bob goes crazy. That was pretty funny. But, you know, but I think that, I think Mayweather has to deal with these people. And... you know, the thing is in sport, and you know, you can't trust anybody because people will do anything to win, and that was a factor in this one, and we kind of got fucked in that one.
I mean, you've been around the sport for a long, long time as a top level trainer, and of course before that as a fighter. Can you reflect a little bit on what is the difference in the sort of the business side of boxing from, say, that golden era in the late 70s through the, you know, early 80s compared to now? And this kind of ties into what we were just talking about with fighters not facing each other. I know you have rival promoters, rival networks, all that sort of thing. Yeah. But why don't the fighters take a bigger stand? Why don't they? Because as a fight fan, it just seems like, and I don't know if this is true, you would know, it just seems like nowadays they don't want to fight the biggest challenge necessarily.
Yeah, true. But I don't think any fighter in the world is scared to fight another fighter.
Right.
Because that's just not the way I was or anyone I know was. I mean, they...
But they're afraid to lose their
record. We will fight anybody.
Record.
But we will fight anybody.
Right.
And then... But then you get, like, Mayweather, who gets to a point where he's almost, like, breaking somebody's record, where he's going to be very careful about who he fights and chooses. But it's more the promoter.
Right.
I mean... You know, they're not going to put Canelo in with Pacquiao because, or anybody, because he's their biggest cash cow.
Right.
And he's their last cash cow.
Right. Triple G, for that matter. They're not going to put him in with Triple G just yet.
Because once he loses, there's no more money.
Right.
I mean, right now they can put him in there with a lot of opponents.
Well, why do you think people didn't care about that as much? You know, in the era when Sugar Ray Leonard and Hearns and Hagler and Duran, all these guys were fighting each other, it seemed like all the time.
I think it was
guys that were just underneath that. You know?
Yeah, it was a better era of boxing. And the thing is, the promoters, no matter how much they hated each other, they promoted fights together.
Right.
I mean, Don King and Arum hated each other, but they still promoted fights together. Mm. I remember Arum's got a show going on, and Don King's got one of his fighters in the show. Don King goes to get up in the ring, and Bob don't want him in the fucking ring. I see Bob run over, grab him by the back of his coat, and tore his coat right off his back. I said, this is fucking
That's like
great.
Some professional wrestling action right
this
there.
This is great. This is, you know, this, but the thing is...
That's a good show.
But the thing is, they made the best fights, and
right.
That's why boxing's not number one right now, and maybe MMA might be taking us over right now because we don't have the best fighting the best, and we need to do that. We really do. I mean, the thing is, Al Heyman and all these guys, they have to get along. I mean, they got to start promoting, because if you don't have the best fight the best, I mean, it's going to kill the sport.
It leads me to the question, though: do the people that run boxing, and I mean the executive class that mm-hmm. runs boxing, the executives at you know, the networks and the big time promoters, do they know fucking anything about what the fans want to see or care, for that matter? Because as a fight fan, when you see somebody like, I don't know, like Arizandi, Lara, or these guys get shot after shot after shot, you're like, no one's ever going to care about that guy. Why is he on TV?
Those guys aren't good matchmakers. And in the past, we've had guys that work for TV stations that were good matchmakers and knew the fight game. So, you know, the thing is, the game has changed a lot. And,
right.
Again, the politics of it, and the you know, the different promoters now, and everybody like just being a little bit too careful, I think, and so forth. And,
I mean, I'm a fight fan to the bone, but they sure make it hard.
I mean, the thing is, to stay a fight fan. To me, like, you know, the era of the 70s, the early 70s was fucking unbelievable. Everyone fought everybody,
right,
and so forth, and now nobody's fighting nobody. And you know, that, you know, we do have the MMA coming in and making mm-hmm. a lot of noise there. And the thing is about the MMA people is that they have to fight each other,
right,
because they have no choice. And I think that should be more of a case than the fighters, that they have to fight these guys within a certain amount of time. You used to have mandatories, you know, where you had to fight the mandatory, but nobody gives a shit about that. You know, we'll go with the super champion or the double super champion.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is a double super guy?
It's
unbelievable, you know. So the thing is, and the one thing about Manny, though, he's always wanted to fight the best, and
right.
he always wants the people to get their money's worth.
Sure.
So he's fighting a guy that's a 2-time world champion, and nobody really knows a lot about this guy, and he's not very famous and stuff like that. But to win 2 world titles, he's got to be good. I mean, because
he almost knocked out Tim Bradley, or maybe even did knock out Tim Bradley.
Right. But winning titles is not an easy thing to do.
Sure.
So, you know, we're in a tough fight, obviously. They think the young guy's going to beat the old guy, and could happen, but right. I don't think so. But, you know, and then, you know, Bob likes Terrence Crawford a lot.
Yeah.
And he
tried well, that's what I was going to say. Where does Manny go from here?
Trying to make him the next pay-per-view star.
Right.
And
you think like, that'll be his next fight? Maybe him or possibly. Lomachenko or one of these guys?
Lomachenko I love, but the thing is, I think he's too small.
Right.
But the thing is, someone mentioned that yesterday, but it's it would be a great fight, and I've seen him train here and so forth, and Manny would destroy him. But, you know, Terrence Crawford is a good, he's like a young Mayweather who can run a little bit and so right. forth, and Manny can cut the ring off and find him. But it'd be a difficult style fight. But
sure.
The thing is, Manny will not turn down anybody because, I mean,
right.
he'll fight whoever the best guy is and whoever the people want him to fight because Manny fights for the people.
I mean,
and just like he fights for the people because he fights for his hometown people also, and he fights for his country.
Right.
You know, because he's a very, very good person.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
And is he still beloved at home now that he's been in politics for a while? Because I imagine that could have a corrosive effect on your reputation.
It could, but he's still very loved at home. And you know, the thing is about the politics, you know, you're speaking about a third world country, and the Americans say, well, why are they saying that over there and stuff like this? But over there, it fits. Over there, it has to be like that because
right.
it's a third world country. I mean, over here, it's a little bit easier. I mean, America's a lot better off than the Philippines is. I mean, what's it, 300 million homeless people in the Philippines? The number's
really?
Outrageous.
Wow.
Like I said, you'd be kidding me.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you walk the streets, and like I did for the last month, and you see them every day, and it's like just... It's a poor place and so forth, but Manny wants to improve it. And
right.
the thing is, he is genuine with it. He'll spend his own money. He will be broke probably for the rest of his life because he will give his money away and he will give it to the people.
Really?
Not because he won't spend it himself. He will give it. That's how generous he is.
Really?
Mayweather might go broke spending his money in gambling. Manny's the complete opposite cat. He just doesn't work like that. I mean, he grew up so poor, you know, selling donuts at the red lights and so forth.
Right.
And he knows what it is to be poor. I mean,
sure.
And not everybody in America knows that. You know, we have welfare and stuff like that. Over there, you know,
yeah.
if you don't have a fucking job, you're fucked. That's all there is to it.
Right.
You got no choice. Like someone said, why would someone eat a dog? I said, well, he might be hungry. I said, you know, because like
he's that hungry.
That's the last choice.
Right.
I mean, but that's the way it is. I mean, it's how it is. I mean, everyone says to me, Freddie, why don't you like retire and come to the Philippines and live a good life and so forth? You know, and I say to him, it's not that nice here. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, like, you know, America.
I'll stay in LA.
America's the best place in the world.
Right.
I mean, we take a lot of things for granted.
Sure.
And a lot of things like what the president says and what Manny agrees with the president and so forth, you know, that's all. The issues are so different there than here. I mean, they might have to do it over there.
We have our own circus going on this year.
In this year, I mean, is this really the two best people in the world?
Right.
Give me a fucking break.
Right,
Jesus
right.
Christ. I mean, I can't pick either one.
Right.
So,
yeah, no, I believe you, I'm in the same boat.
Hey, you know, they asked me the other day if Donald Trump could beat up Biden in a fight. So I did pick him to win, but everyone tells me I better be careful because Biden, they say Biden is in like pretty good shape.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd go with Biden on that
oh,
one.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Cause,
he seems meaner to me.
Yeah, the other guy's kind of a street guy in New Jersey, you know, all those.
Yeah,
hotels.
I don't know.
But bad hairdo.
You take away his bodyguards. I don't know. I think Biden's got that fight.
Okay.
We'll see.
I went the other
way. I like it, though. That's a good fight. That's a good pick'em fight.
Yeah.
You know, one last thing. How do you, as a trainer, you know, boxing's a strange sport because it's not like, you know, a professional sports team that can rebuild as, you know, the athlete's age or whatever. How do you find the next Manny Pacquiao? Are you going around to amateur fights? Are you scouting like that? I mean, you're so well-known, I imagine people would probably just come through your door every day.
They come, and I'm looking, and, you know, but the next Manny Pacquiao that's a dream. There's no such thing. I mean, but I did build this gym for one reason. I said, you never know when the next Muhammad Ali is going to walk through your door.
Right.
You know, and then less than 6 months later,
A really small one did. 122-pound Muhammad Ali came walking through your door.
Walking through my door and asked me, can we do mitts? And I said, yeah, sure. So after one round, it was there. We just went together, you know. And yeah. It's been great. And together for 15 years is unbelievable. Because usually, you know, I would have been fired like five times by now because he lost a couple fights and didn't win them all. And somebody
boxing trainer, that's a high turnover gig.
But Manny doesn't blame people. He blames himself because he's the one in the ring. Yeah. He's a really, I mean, he's a very, very good person. I mean, he's like the best guy I've ever met in this sport. I mean, he's really a good guy. And he's changed my life. I mean, but the thing is, I mean, I am waiting for that next one. I have a couple young prospects, good guys and so forth. Got a little problems with them because talented people always have problems.
Are you talking about Frankie Gomez by chance?
Of course.
Is Frankie Gomez going to get to that level, or is he going to be the next Francisco Panchito Bajado or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like such a common thing in boxing that you see these guys with all the talent that don't kind of keep it together.
He weighs 180 pounds now, and he has been in the gym since I left. Yeah, when we're together, it's great, and he's a very talented guy, but I don't know. I think he might end up one of those people, you know.
Right,
he's the king of Boyle Heights, and I think he's satisfied with that. And there's so much more out there, I think.
Right.
But, you know, it's how it goes, you know. Guys like Manny Pacquiao, they're rare, very rare. So, but I am still looking, though.
Well, you know, normally on my podcast, I interview other musicians. And normally at the end of the interview, they play and sing a song. So what song are you going to sing for us today, Freddie?
I'm the worst singer in the world. The only song I know is Happy Birthday.
Yeah, that'll work. Dude, thank you so much. I know it's a very busy day, and I really appreciate you talking to me.
So are you still in Seattle?
No. I'm here in L.A.
But Seattle originally, right?
Well, the band started up there. Oh, I was never a Seattle guy.
Oh, you're L.A. guy?
Well, I'm a Santa Barbara guy originally.
Oh, Santa Barbara. Yeah. Nice place.
Yeah, sure.
I've been to college once.
Oh, yeah. Oh, should I mention that?
Sure.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that in the thing, but we should definitely mention that the Pacquiao versus Vargas pay-per-view is live on November 5th. What's Don't that? Forget it. Tune in. Oh. I'm just doing an infomercial.
I'm sorry.
Hey, before we wrap this up, could you just say, hey, this is Freddie Roach, and you're listening to Walking the Floor. All right, that was Freddie Roach, superstar boxing trainer of Manny Pacquiao, among others. Make sure you tune in on Saturday, November 5th. That's this Saturday to see Pacquiao's fight with Vargas, see where he's at now that he is no longer retired. That's probably the shortest retirement in boxing history. I think it was like 7 months. Anyway, we'll be back. We might have actually one more special Walk in the Floor episode this week. And if whether or not we do, we'll be back next Monday, regardless. And while you're missing us, make sure you go and subscribe to Walk in the Floor in the iTunes store. It really helps the show out a lot, keeps it free. Go back and listen to those old episodes, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Chris Shiflett on Walking the Floor. Adios, amigos!